Well, I feel like the Lord's been talking to us some, and I want to share a few thoughts with us. I wrote on the board the word peculiar. The scripture tells us in Titus 2 and 14, it says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." You know, this peculiar people is, if you look it up, it means beyond, being beyond usual. That is special. One's own. Peculiar. It doesn't mean weird. It just means beyond usual. It means special. And so this morning I want to talk about an aspect of being special that the Lord has made for you and I that is peculiar. It's a little bit unusual. It's a little bit special to the world this morning. And I think about there are a few bright spots in this dark world. There are a few things that are elevated. They're above what you see as an average. And so I want to think about that this morning. You know, the Lord said that he was going to purify unto himself a special people, zealous of good works. And so this morning when we think about this, maybe I should have written up there peacemakers as well. Because that's an aspect of being special that adds a special spice to life that you don't find everywhere. But it's very special. Peace is like, it is like a spice that just makes something just right, doesn't it? There's something about a peacemaker, good things like that, that really are a blessing in life. And if ever the world has needed this kind of thing, it is today. And so I want to think about a number of thoughts about peace, about being a peacemaker, and that being something that God wants to put within us first. And he wants to purify within us these kind of things, and he wants to make unto us a special people, folks. The Lord would like for there to be some special spice on our job that comes from Christians, real Christians. He would like there to be a very special spice within our home that few homes really have. And that comes from the home of one that has peace in their heart with God and peace in their life. I want to begin in Matthew 5 and 9. We're so very familiar with this scripture, aren't we? Probably most of us can quote it. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Do you know this morning, that word blessed, it means happy. It means blessed. It means there's something special for that. And it says, Jesus said here, and probably the greatest sermon ever preached, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." This morning, I hope that the Holy Spirit will challenge you and me in our lives to take upon us this peculiar thing in a world that is so full of warfare. I mean, I'm talking in you turn the radio on, the waves are inundated with war. They're inundated with strife, with hatred, with anger on every hand. And we find it, you talk to people. I met some trash men the other day that came by to pick up a special bulk rate. And I was talking with them, and they were talking about things. And, you know, the Lord wants us to bring an element to life that you don't find everywhere. It's a beautiful element that the Lord wants to bring into lives. There's something about people that are at peace. that's very attractive to others. And so Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. And we want to think a little bit through this about what it means to be a peacemaker. I want to turn to 1 Peter 3 and 10 to 12. Read a few scriptures there. 1 Peter 3 and 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him. Now, folks, this right here is a recipe, isn't it? He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Do you know that's part of the secret of being a peacemaker? Refrain our tongue. Put a hold on our tongue. Some kind of a band on it. Refrain our tongue from evil. And it says here, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil or disdain evil. Put it away from him and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. That means to pursue it. It means to get on the path, get on the trail of peace and try to pursue that. In our home, in our heart, that's where it starts. And that's where, if we are going to give anything to the world, we're going to have it first. We cannot give them something we don't have. But it says, get on the trail of peace. Ensue it, pursue it. That's what that word means. So this morning, if we're going to be the spice, if we're going to be the peculiar, that special people in the world, the people that are harmless and holy and godly, the people that they can trust, the people that when they need prayer, they believe they can call this person. They might talk about them all the rest of the time, but when they really get in trouble, how many times have we seen that happen, folks? How many times has those people called for prayer when they get in trouble? There has to be some people that pursue peace this morning. We're in a world, I cannot imagine the world ever having been as a whole in more turmoil than it is today. It grieves my heart because in our very nation, we find that people are divided. Good people are divided. And you can't come together. We can't see one another. Do you know that we don't have to always see one another's point? We don't have to always agree on what we think about the way things are or situations or political situations. We don't have to always see everything exactly alike to have peace. Do you know we can have peace with one another? I want to challenge us as a congregation. I have been praying for peace. And then I believe we have a great measure of peace here, and I appreciate that. A great measure. But I want to keep it. And I don't want the devil getting in. What is around the world, folks, it comes in and tries to affect the church. And it will affect us. I guarantee you, it will affect us. What we do with it is the rest of that story. So this morning, what are we going to do with the turmoil, the strife, the hatred, the anger, the high levels that we find all around us? Are we going to get embroiled in that? Or are we going to be peculiar? Are we going to be special to the world that we... And I'm challenged by this too because it is so very easy to get embroiled in all of those things. Folks, we are all brethren this morning. We all have the same blood. We all descended from the same set of parents somewhere back there in Adam and Eve. And do you know that here we are brethren. We are of one blood. The Lord wants us to have peace in our assemblies. And this morning, I say, if we want to see good days and we want to have good life, let's pursue peace. Let's get on the trail of it. We will not allow the enemy. I had seen many homes. I had seen a number of homes when I was young that I knew had no peace. I knew and I determined then I am not going to ever allow many wars to be in my home. Little wars, little strifes that never cease. Folks, it takes work to not allow the enemy to encroach upon us. We have to tag our tongue. We have to keep that thing. We have to work at it to have peace, because there are such deep divides in the way people think this morning. But do you know that even though we think differently many times, it doesn't mean we cannot have peace. That is an element that proves the grace of God in a life. And the Lord tells us that. It is the love that we have one for another. It means to pursue, to press toward. Peace, as in the scripture we just read in the 11th verse, it means peace. That word literally means peace. It means one, quietness, rest, set at one again. That's what that means. I want to challenge us this morning that we have rest in our soul, that we have peace in our life, that we have peace in our home, and that we become an ambassador of peace to this world that is so at war with one another this morning. I want to finish that now. Verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." I will tell you, folks, if we get involved in the evil, and if we have strife within our heart and our life and in our tongue, I will tell you, the face of the Lord, it says, is against them that do evil. Now, we can have a thought of evil in our mind that somebody killed somebody. Somebody told some hideous lie. But I will tell you, evil can come down to the strife of tongues. It can come way on down to you and me. We are brethren. Our homes, we are married. Our children, they are ours. Let's fight for peace. Let's let our fight be that we have peace with one another. I looked up the word peace in Webster's, and I just want to read it. It had a long list. I'm going to not read it all, but I'm going to read parts of it. It says, in a general sense, a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, applicable to society, to individuals, or to the temper of the mind. Freedom from war with a foreign nation, public quiet. Freedom from internal commotion or civil war. Freedom from private quarrels, suits, or disturbance. Freedom from agitation or disturbance by the passions, as from fear, terror, anger, anxiety, or the like. Quietness of mind, tranquility, calmness, quiet of conscience, heavenly rest, the happiness of heaven. This is an old Webster's dictionary. Harmony, concord, a state of reconciliation between parties at variance. Harmony, concord. You mean we can have harmony in this world? Yes, we can. And folks, the more Christian influence there is, the more harmony you will see. Because that is simply God's way of dealing with things. Public tranquility, that quiet order and security which is guaranteed by the laws, is to keep the peace, to break the peace. To be at peace, to be reconciled, to live in harmony, to make peace, to reconcile as parties at variance, to hold the peace, to be silent, to suppress one's thoughts, not to speak. Sometimes that's the hardest part of peace, isn't it? So I want to look at a little illustration in the scriptures of one that took a very difficult situation and made peace with it. That's in Genesis, the 26th chapter and the 12th verse. We read here about Isaac. Genesis 26 and 12 through 22. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Now, you know, there's several things could have happened here. Isaac could have set his heart on those things, which would have made him become very protective to a degree that God didn't want him to be. For all the Philistines envied him, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well, and they strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." You know, Isaac had options. These people plainly said, "You're mightier than we are. We want you to get out of here." And Isaac could have said, this is the promise to my father. Isaac, although the Lord told Abraham it would be some time before his descendants could inherit that land, but Isaac could have declared war. He could have said, "We're mightier than you, and you're not taking our wells, and we dug this well out, and my father dug it to start with, and so we're going to have this well." But you know what? He just went and dug another well, didn't he? And then they strove for that one too. They was angry. They were wanting them out of there. And so Isaac just moved to another place. And you know, the Lord gave him peace there. And so we thank God for that. I think about our situations today. We don't have to be done right to have peace with one another. We don't have to understand one another to seek peace, do we? And we want to read some scriptures that will substantiate that this morning. The Lord can give us peace when someone else isn't being peaceable. And many times He will do that if we will do our part as the people of God. And so it's a very different concept than the world has this morning. But I think about Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7. And look at what it prophesies of Christ as being from the very beginning. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I love these scriptures here. It describes one that I know as Jesus Christ this morning. The Everlasting Father. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because He was God. He was part of God, part of the Godhead. And we find Him here called the Prince of Peace. You know, princes have kingdoms, don't they? We find in the New Testament, it talks about that kingdom, doesn't it? And it says that it's a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy. And the Lord wants us to explore and to enjoy that kingdom that He has given. When I hear people speaking of sin and saying, we can't help it, everybody sins more or less every day. And my question has to be this: why should I, when Jesus Christ came to bring deliverance. Why should I be bound under the curse that is the very thing that ruined men from the start? It ruins everywhere it goes. It ruins family. And so there is a kingdom. That kingdom is righteousness. It is peace. It is joy in the Holy Ghost this morning. And you know, the very prince of that kingdom, it says he's the prince of peace this morning. He wants to get in our hearts. He wants to change our stony heart. He wants to do that thing that everybody says, wow, they sure are different. What happened? What happened? Because the prince, he brought his kingdom and we submitted to his kingdom this morning. I want to tell you, everywhere this gospel has been established, it brings peace. It is only in the perversion of the gospel that you find wars. Jesus, or we find back here in Isaiah where it says they beat their swords into plowshares. Why would they beat their swords into plowshares if they're going to need them again? Because they don't need them anymore. God's people lays war aside. They lay those kind of things aside and they become ambassadors of peace to the world. They become a very special, peculiar people in the world today. And I want to encourage us to latch onto that, to pursue it, to ensue it, to look for it, to follow after it, as the definition says, and to find these things. These are blessed things this morning. What would the world be like if everybody was pursuing peace? I'll tell you what it would be like. There would be peace. I'll tell you what else they would have. We would have righteousness. And something else we wouldn't have to have is so many burdensome and expensive armaments if everybody lived that way. Everybody's not going to live that way. But some of us can this morning. That some of us can be the spice, I believe, that can change kingdoms sometimes. We find Daniel was in a foreign land. He was a slave. He was taken captive in this foreign land. He could not go back. And do you know that the Lord used that young man? He used him to promote peace. He used him to help kings in that foreign place. Do you know the Lord has a place for you and me? And maybe some of us will never be in those places, but I'll tell you, we can be a little bit of salt in the cake that we're in. We can be in that place, in our little corner of this world. It filters out, does it not? It goes on to say, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It's still going on today, isn't it? We are recipients of it. And if we don't have peace, I want to urge us this morning to seek peace and to ensue it. Upon the throne of David, that was through Jesus. Upon the throne of David means it came down through Christ. And upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isn't that a blessing this morning? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this morning. So we thank God. And we want the Lord to help us. I want to read those scriptures that I quoted a minute ago in Romans 14 and 17. Romans 14 and 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, Sometimes we get hung up on what the kingdom of God is. But folks, when you boil it down, it says, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Do you know that what Paul is telling us there, through inspiration, is telling us, do everything we can to the laying aside of things that we would really enjoy or like, to make peace sometimes. Let's work at it. It says there the same thing that the very definition of peacemakers is. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. I believe the Lord wants us to have that this morning. The very word peacemakers, as we read it in Matthew 5 and 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It says supremely blessed, by extension fortunate, well off, blessed, happy, happier. That's part of our definition this morning. I want to read a few other things. I want to think about ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, it tells us, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Paul says he's an ambassador for Christ. He's one. What is an ambassador? An ambassador gets sent normally to foreign places, doesn't it? Doesn't he? And they go to those places and they try to take what the foreign power says to do. And they go and tell them. They go and work with them. They work out trade deals many times. They work with the foreign powers. They, in time of war, you see them. There's an ambassador there a lot of times trying to work things out. We see they represent the powers that sent them. And Paul said, now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you know this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to take it upon ourselves. God has a job for me to do. And one of them is to take that special spice to the world that makes life loving, that makes you love life. The scripture we read says, he that will love life and see good days. How is that? Because they have that thing in there that makes them love life and see good days. They have the Lord in their life. And so that's part of our job this morning. Sounds pretty simple. But I will tell you, this isn't simple. Sometimes it takes a lot of humility to be able to do that. But I believe that there are answers to life situations this morning. The Lord has those answers for us. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12 and 13, it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. You know, I think Paul knew the value of this. He knew what he was saying, and he said, be at peace among yourselves. And I want to say again, it's not always in agreeing with one another on everything. I know that sometimes we feel like we have to drive our point until it's accepted, whatever that is. You know, the scripture doesn't tell us that. It tells us really just opposite of that. And I want to, sometimes we have to agree to bear with one another. Did you know sometimes we have to do that? We just have to agree to bear with one another. We have to agree with ourselves to forbear and not say the things that we know are going to push those hot buttons, don't we? That's an effort on our part. It takes a real crucifying to the flesh to say no to ourselves. But I will tell you what it brings. It makes the cake taste really good. It puts the spice in there. It makes the meat, instead of just being blasé, it makes it have taste. It makes it something you really enjoy. It can change those things, can't it? But these kind of things take, it's more than pouring it out of a little shaker this morning. It takes a little bit of work. Acts 6 and 1. I just wanted to kind of read this little story here. Because, you know, when we're together, anytime there's more than one person, there's going to be some issues. We just need to recognize that and accept that. There's going to be some issues. It is how we address them and how we work with them as to whether we can be the salt of the world, the salt of the earth or not. Whether we can actually be that peculiar, that special blessing to the world. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Now these were disciples. These were people that were saved. And there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, why were the Grecians neglected and the Jews were taken care of? I don't know. It just multiplied and it happened, and maybe there was some people at fault, and maybe it just was overlooked. I don't know why this happened. Maybe there was even some fault somewhere. Maybe there was somebody kind of dealing with things that was a little bit underhanded. I don't know. But there was something going on here, and so they began to kind of murmur about it. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." It's not working too well for us here. We got too much to do to be in the middle of this. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business." Let's look for some folks that have this spice. They're full of the Holy Ghost. They're not afraid to do the right thing. They're not going to be working from the flesh. They're not going to be causing trouble out there. They're not going to be somehow prejudiced in a way that shorts somebody. And so the apostle said, choose out some people like this. And he says here, they say here, "full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. They were serious about this. Brethren, we want this to be taken care of rightly. We don't want there to be any wrong. Folks, we want that to be the case within our people today. We long for that in every way we can. And we want to hear. These brethren heard, and then they did the best they knew to do with it. But I want to read to you what the result of that was. It says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." This kind of spice, instead of bringing war, brings peace. It brings the ability to fight the enemy and to win. But it has to come from people who have peace in their hearts, who have in their hearts a desire. Now, you know, and this has to be on all sides of the aisle. Folks, I'm desperate this morning that every one of us long, pursue, hunt down, follow after peace. Peace. Lord, teach us your ways and show us your paths. Give us in our life, give us peace, Lord. Give us that prosperity that makes people want to be added to the number. The Lord was able to work in here. He was able, it goes on and it talks about Stephen, full of faith and power, and did great wonders and miracles among the people. Do you know God backed all this up with His Spirit? And this morning, when every one of us decide in our hearts, I want to be a peacemaker. How can I make peace in this situation? I don't think it's going to take long for you and me to have peace. I'm not saying any of us don't. But I don't think it's going to take long for me and you to have peace if both of us have a great desire to follow and pursue peace. Many times it takes both of us. But I want to encourage every one of us that in our hearts there is nothing but peace making in our hearts. The Lord help us today. In Matthew 5, we see a scripture, and I've read it many times here. But Matthew 5 and 43, Jesus said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." I believe in this. This is one of the most challenged scriptures probably in the Bible, in our lives, folks, for us to do this. I find it on every hand, in many situations here. It is a challenge for us. But we being peacemakers, we being lovers of those that are our enemies, lovers of those that hate us, lovers of those that try to hurt us, we seek a way to find peace, don't we? We seek a way to do good to our enemies. And it goes on to say something very telling, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do you not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect. That's where that scripture comes in, right there. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. It makes me think, we are the children of our Father. And it makes me think of the scriptures that we all know so well in John 3 and 16. What's it say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He could have sent His Son to condemn the world. He could have called the world to an end. He could have brought judgment, but He didn't. Instead, He sent His Son. And He sent Him to us. He sent Him to make peace with us. And we were the offenders, not Him. So this morning, He calls us to be the children of our Father, which art in heaven. He calls us to be those children. Do you know this morning? That means we've got His blood in us. That means we're like the Father. That means that when we would declare war, we instead send an ambassador of peace. That's God's people this morning. I just want to challenge us that God would get in our hearts, that He would teach us His ways, that He would show us how to take hard and difficult situations and make them peaceable. That He would teach us when we are in marriage. Folks, we all live together closely. We know one another many times. We know it's not always easy, is it? It's not. It's not easy to live very closely with someone else all the time. Now, sometimes it's wonderful and great. Sometimes it's not so easy. Sometimes we have to put up with some things, each one of us, don't we? because we just see it different. Folks, I know what I'm talking about with us people this morning. The Lord help us today that we can find peace and that we can have peace. And it has to start there. If we don't win there, we're never going to be able to win other places. We'll never win on our job if we have only become accustomed to fighting back. I want to read in Colossians 3 and 9 to 16. This is a beautiful set of scriptures that, to me, Colossians 3, I believe, is the answer to so many problems in life. It's kind of the recipe for a godly home. But I just want to read the scripture starting at verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Do you know this morning, we are to put on a new man, a new person. When they see somebody get truly saved and they've had their issues and their mouth is aghast, that's a new man. Do you know, isn't that wonderful this morning? And the Lord tells us here, put on the new man. And He says, the new man, where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. I encourage us this morning to see one another. And I think many of us do that, most of us. To see one another as this says, Christ is all. He's in all. And so when we see one another as a nationality or something, whether it's from one side or the other, folks, this morning we need to declare war on what the devil's doing in our country. We cannot let it pervade the church. We cannot let it come in amongst us. It is everywhere, and we all know what we're talking about. It's everywhere. It's on every side. Hatred and malice and anger. Folks, this morning, there is none of that. We are one blood in Christ. We all are one blood in Christ. I don't even like to see it mentioned. I don't even like to see it brought to the surface because I feel like we're all one blood in Christ. We must all come to that. No matter what side we're on in our mind or where we were born or how or what. Folks, we are one blood in Christ this morning. That means we're brethren. That means we've got one another's back. That means we fight for one another. That means we'll join in the battle no matter what it is, no matter how hard, no matter if it brings danger to ourselves. We'll join in together. We must fight for this. We must take this to other places. We've got to be willing and able by the grace of God to take the spice, to be that special people that will not allow the anger, will not allow the differences of opinion and thoughts about what's gone on and what's going on and all those things. Folks, we are brethren this morning. The Lord help us each one that we can be brethren, that we pursue, that we have the kind of peace, the kind of comfort level with one another, that we see nothing but the blood of Christ between us this morning. We must be that people this morning. That's a special people in the world today. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Well, is it possible that saints will have a quarrel between them? Well, evidently it is from what Paul said here, and I've seen it to be so. Yes, we will have a quarrel sometimes. Yes, we will have differences sometimes. But I want to tell you something this morning. The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. And folks, He wants us to be new men, new women in Christ. And He wants us to forbear one another. That is the way. That is the way that many times we find peace, isn't it? We're just not going to always get there. We don't always understand each other. But I want to tell you what we can do. We can just not say it again for the 100th time. We can just not say it again. And do you know we can have peace? The Lord can bring us peace this morning. And so above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are also, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Isn't that a blessing this morning? We're almost done. But I want to think about this morning. You know, the Lord wants the word of God to dwell in us richly. And when we do that, and our mind is on heavenly things, and our hearts are longing after God, I want to tell you, we're going to have our quarrels. Yes, we are. But the very fact that we can come through those and love one another, really love one another, and have peace, speaks of God. That speaks of Jesus Christ. That speaks of something that we don't find anywhere else in the world. We find that bringing an element of peace that nothing else can do, because it can change the heart. It can change way down here. And people from the inside out want peace. Then the Lord can do that this morning. I want to read one or two more scriptures here. In Jeremiah 29 and 7, while we're finding that, I think about the alternative to these things is grudges and hatred and war and many wars and strife and trouble. That's the alternative to forbearing one another. That's the alternative to not seeking peace this morning. And we find a whole world full of it. Why do homes have to split up over? I will tell you what happens. Somebody begins not seeking peace. Somebody begins to be selfish. And that's what begins to happen this morning. So the Lord help us that we can be one of these, some of the salt of the earth, some of the spice of life. One more place, Jeremiah 29 and 7, or two places maybe. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof ye shall have peace. Do you know that we are in the world, we are in a country? And He says, seek the peace. He told these people that were in Babylon, and they were carried away captives. He said, you seek the peace of the city, whether you're carried away. You might be down at Babylon. You seek the peace of Babylon, because you're going to have peace if they have peace. And so this morning, I want to encourage us, let's pray for the peace of the world, for the peace of our country. Let's don't be afraid to give this spice to the world, because the world, maybe they don't see it. Maybe they'll think we're dim-witted, things like that. But folks, we have something that when it's employed, it's so valuable. It's so healthy. It's so right. It's so good this morning. One more scripture. Psalms 119 and 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Wow. What a scripture. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you know the Lord has that for us this morning? Nothing shall offend us. We won't allow it, because we keep our minds on Him. Doesn't the scripture say that? He keepeth them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So the Lord help us. That's a challenge to all of us, isn't it, this morning? Pray for me.